Before we get started with today's episode, I want to thank Lumen for sponsoring today's episode. I want to tell you guys about Lumen, which is working to improve metabolic health and the quality of life. They are doing this with the first device to measure a person's metabolism in real time.
Lumen measures metabolism through the breath.
What this will tell you is if your body is using fats for fuel or carbs for fuel. It also provides you personalized daily meal plans and insights to help you reach your fitness and weight goals. Lumen science is rooted in years of validation and research conducted by two of their founders and chief scientists. If you are interested in looking into Lumen and purchasing any of their products, please go to www.lumen.me. And you can also use my code THRIVE25 to get $25 off your purchase. I want to talk about gaslighting. I want to talk about really how gaslighting affects your mental well-being, right? So how it basically creates mental illness within you. If we don't know anything about gaslighting, I will tell you that gaslighting is a form of emotional abuse. If you did know that, then you will understand that this is a tactic someone uses to basically create a lot of self-doubt within yourself. Now, this tactic is used because the abuser is looking to, like I said, create doubt within the person. So they want you to doubt what you think. They want you to doubt how you feel. They want you to doubt what you perceive to be the reality of situations. So they want to convince you that your memories and your thoughts are wrong, or that you were possibly just overreacting to an event or something that happened. They are then going to tell like their side of the story, and their side of the story, they are going to be so convincing that what they think is the reality, is the truth. And they're going to be so, I don't want to say stubborn in it, but their confidence in what they think happened is going to be so strong that you begin to doubt yourself and think, well, maybe that didn't happen. So if you've ever been in that situation where you thought, well, maybe they didn't say that, or maybe that didn't happen then, you were being gaslighted. Now, an abuser can use this, and really when they do use this, is in very small doses. So it might be something as simple as, when we went to the store yesterday and the abuser says, no, we didn't go to the store yesterday. And you're like, wait a minute, didn't we? Didn't we go to the store? And they go, no, we didn't go to the store. And they kept kind of pounding that in you. Or they might say that small little detail of the story didn't happen. So those little tiny things are going to start to form more self-doubt within your own mind. So a lot of the times they're not going to be huge catastrophic things where someone says, no, that didn't happen. It blatantly didn't happen. And you know, it did. It's going to be those tiny, tiny little nuggets in a story that they're going to say, no, that wasn't right. Their sweater wasn't red. It was blue. Something like that, for example. And all of those situations that happen time and time again begin to cause or create some doubt within yourself. Now, the reason why an abuser will do this is because they want you to create so much doubt within yourself that you don't trust your own judgment. You don't trust your own thoughts and feelings. You basically rely on them to tell you what is the reality of the situation. So right off the bat, mental illness, here we go. We are creating some mental illness within ourselves because you are allowing someone else to control you. You are becoming codependent on what someone else thinks and feels as being what you think and feel. So there you go. I mean, step one, you are already being programmed or groomed, whatever you want to call it, to lose your sense of self. So your ability to connect with yourself and know what you think and how you feel, that is something that you have to constantly be working at, because if you just allow someone to come in and tell you who you are and what you think and how you feel, and you give them that power, you're creating, like I said, that low sense of self, low confidence, insecure, codependent type of a person. So you're relying on someone else to basically tell you what you think and how you feel. So one of the biggest things with gaslighting, like I said, is your ability to lose that connection with yourself. And if you lose that connection, you will slowly start to form a lot of things. You're going to form anxiety, you're going to form depression. You're going to form, social isolation. You're not going to want to be around other people. Your connection with yourself and that relationship that you have with yourself begins to really dwindle. And that 100% causes so many problems in terms of mental illness. Now, how do we begin to protect ourselves from this? You know, one of the biggest things with gaslighting is that it is a form of psychological manipulation. So this is, you know, the abuser's way of really trying to control their victim. Now, if you know this, and you know, I always say the best thing you can ever do is kind of know your audience. I mean, when you're getting to know a brand new person, you don't give yourself to a brand new person. You are slowly getting to know them. So you have to see consistency. You want to be able to see what someone's character is like. And you won't be able to know that in the first month or 2 months or 6 months of getting to know a person. It's going to take a long time to see who this person really is, because everyone always shows their colors eventually, because people can't play characters for too long. They're eventually going to show you who they really are, their character. So you being able to be very self-loving to know, okay, the new person, I have to be on guard of my own heart, my own mind, and be able to protect myself and try to find out who this person is. Are they right for me? Are they healthy for me? With the people that are already in your life, you have to know who in my life tends to do this. So when you start to learn about emotional abuse, when you start to learn about these different types of tactics, you all of a sudden start taking an inventory of the people in your life and think, wow, like, my friend Susie, she tends to do this to me. And you kind of have like this like awakening. Your next step is to, in the moment of hanging around Susie or whoever that is the abuser or whoever tries to do these tactics or maneuvers on you, you have to be very aware that they're happening. The next thing that a gaslighter will tend to do is want to make themselves the victim. Now, when you start to become a little bit stronger, when you start to be a little bit more aware that this is what they do, they're going to want to kind of hone in on your reactions and your, I don't want to say like mistakes, but where you tend to overreact or maybe where your ego gets the best of you, and they're going to immediately harp on that and make themselves the victim. Now, what I mean by that, if the abuser is saying something like, you know, they're giving false accusations that you do this and you do that, and you become so emotionally enraged or very defensive and you begin to fight back, whether that's yelling or screaming or getting defensive, whatever it is that it looks like, and the abuser then sees that they got you because you're reacting exactly how they wanted you to react so they can label them as the victim. So this is where they're gonna claim you're being so sensitive, you're out of control, look at you, you're yelling. So this is immediately where you almost like your mind like goes crazy, because you're like, wait a minute, you just flipped that on me. Like, we were just talking about something else. You said something that was completely wrong or irrational or hurtful or whatever it is. And I engaged, which was my mistake, unfortunately, and you have to learn from those mistakes, but I engaged and then they became the victim and now you're the abuser. So when I hear my clients tell me things like, well, now my partner is telling me that like, I'm the gaslighter and I'm the narcissist and I'm the manipulative one, and I can't believe that they're even accusing me of that. And where the defensiveness tends to come in is because now you're basically just drank the cuckoo juice and you have fallen for their trap. One of the biggest things that you can ever do for yourself is learn how to hold on to yourself, is learning that you don't need validation for what you think and how you feel. So for me, the best thing that I ever did was learning how to validate my own feelings, was learning that what I think and how I feel really matters, was learning how to trust myself. And of course, it's normal and healthy to have a little bit of self-doubt. Like if you said, hey, we went to the store yesterday and someone said, no, we didn't. Maybe they really think that we didn't, but I think I did. So I'm gonna just keep rolling with that. That ability to stay true to what it is that you're thinking and feeling is a really huge, important skill towards being mentally healthy. Now, when someone is fabricating stories, making up lies, making up accusations, whatever it is to make themselves basically not take accountability or responsibility for their actions, whatever the situation entails, when you know that you are having a conversation with someone who is using these tactics or becoming irrational themselves or fabricating, whatever it is, you have to accept that you're now not going to have a normal, healthy adult conversation with this person. So it becomes your job to learn how to stand in your own self, stay true, create the bubble and disengage, or learn how to speak up for yourself and not fear that type of confrontation. And even better, taking the next step forward is allowing the abuser to think whatever they want to think. they can really, truly think and feel and believe in their bones that we didn't go to the store yesterday, but I know that I did. So if you don't think that you were there, that's totally fine. That's on you, and I don't need to convince you. That was the best, most freeing thing that I ever did for myself, was the ability to allow people to think and feel whatever they wanted to and that they didn't have to agree with me. Now, if you are coming out of this relationship and you know that for years you've been the victim of abuse and gaslighting, then you're going to have a lot of mental, I don't want to say mental illness struggles, but you're going to have a lot of things that you struggle with. You're going to struggle with shame. You're going to struggle 100% with trusting other people, possibly even getting your social life back, because if you have left this relationship or out of this relationship, chances are your self-esteem and your self-worth are extremely low. Because remember, it was this person's job to chip away at your confidence, at your self-esteem, at your self-worth, because they wanted to chip away at it so you would become so dependent on them telling you who you are, because you didn't know who you were. You gave up that right and you gave that, you know, power over to the other person. And look, it happens. You can't dwindle in the past. All you can do is work forward to kind of heal yourself and get yourself to the best place possible, which is investing in your mental health every single day, whether that's watching videos, doing affirmations, investing in a program, private coaching, listening to podcasts, feeding your mind, self-care, you know, working on this. This is the most powerful thing you have. So learning how to have healthy and positive self-talk, learning how to push past fear, learning how to motivate yourself, learning how to distinguish who's talking right now, learning how to detach from negative thoughts, all of these different aspects of self-development that I teach, it takes practice. So it is your job to find what is the first thing that I want to start with right now, and really focusing every day on that.